to make up your mind that when you come to church or come to Bible studies, please be engaged. Be engaged. The Word of God, there is no option to the Word of God. It has no option. There's no alternative to it. And so if you really want your life to reflect what the Word is saying, you need to be engaged, seriously engaged. And you need to make up your mind that the Word of God will guide you. Because many Christians hear the Word of God and they go out and they don't care about it again. And it doesn't manifest in their lives. It was one of these preachers that said that Christians always talk about God's word and they're not really interested in doing it. That they have no interest in doing it at all. So they always talk about God's word, but he said they talk about what they have no interest in. He said because if they do have interest in it, their lives will be miracle 24/7. So as you're here, the white man says that whatever is worth doing is worth doing well. If you want to eat a toad, you eat a fat and juicy one. If you're here for Bible studies, please study the Bible. Be engaged. And if you want the Spirit of God to reveal things to you, he must see that you want to use it. He must see that you want to use it. If you don't want to use it, believe you me, you can sit through here and then it will just be another Bible you read all the time. Every single time you hear the word, it has to take a new meaning. A new meaning. Because God says, I do new things, what? Every day. It has to take a new meaning. Yeah? You have to go deeper. You can read one scripture 20 times. Every single time you go deeper, something new happens right there. That's how powerful the word of God is. When it becomes blind to you, something is wrong with you, not with the word. Something has gone sour, and it's not with the word. So if you want to have excitement about the word, get committed to letting the word guide you. Honor it. If you don't honor it, it won't work. I'm not kidding. You can come to church 20 years and your revelation will be just this small. Somebody can come for 1 year, his revelation is this big. I'm telling you what I know. And your faith is commensurate. It's directly proportional to the revelation you operate in. The word of God you live by. You allow control you. Again, because people don't see your heart and see my heart, and people don't see really our lives as that, because we dress up and things like that, that doesn't mean that there's no putrefaction going on. The only thing that sanitizes human being is God's word. Jesus said you are clean because of the words I speak to you. Otherwise, man is man. So if we're here, let's be committed to this. And let's commit ourselves to hearing it. And not, like I said, commit that, look, Lord, if I hear this, and this is it. This is what I eat, live by. This is my bread of life. This is what keeps me going. So that if you hear it, you go home and meditate on it. Give it time again and again and again. And see what happens in 4 weeks. Just 4 weeks. You'll be shouting. This is powerful stuff. The word of God is so powerful. The Bible says it's alive. And it cuts through everything. It says there's nothing it doesn't see. There's nothing it doesn't handle. I've never seen anybody who commits himself to the word of God whose life is not a shining example. I've never seen one. It doesn't happen. So we're talking about living the spirit life through prayers, part 9. Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, for whom I am again suffering birth pangs. Suffering birth pangs. Or it says in King James is also good. My little children, of whom I travel in what? In birth again, until Christ be formed in you. We found from this scripture that the spirit life, to live the life of Christ, there has to be a traveling prayer accompanying it. There has to be. And we're going to find out why. And so it's important to hear the word and for the word to be taught to us. And Paul did it. He was so committed to teaching the word of God. But he also did something else for the Christians, for the body of Christ. He prayed. He said, I traveled for you until this word becomes your experience, becomes your life. It's not just information we're collecting, brethren. It's not just information. Let me tell us something. Yesterday I was thinking, I said, we pastors, God will bless us. You know, we get satisfied with numbers. When you come to church, your church is packed, you go home excited. There's something more than that. The church, it's not just about packing up people. There's something called birth that God is after. I'm telling you. There's something called birth that God is after. That's God's program. You can pack a church if there's no birth. Something serious has happened there. But you know, numbers excite us. So our church is this number. We get it. We should be excited about it. But may I tell us that the divine program is more than that. It's more than that. And Paul knew that. He said, I travail until there's birth. Can everybody say birth? Come on. Birth. He said, until there is birth. Until there is birth. Life is produced by birth. And for every birth, there is pain of travel, spiritual and natural. So, feeding the word of God is a good, is important. But travel to bring birth, that thou seed, the word is like seed. It's like a man's seed in the wife. The word is like seed. There's travail of the mother to produce, push out the baby into the world. So the baby becomes a reality. If the baby is not pushed out, it can die in the womb. So he taught them the word. In Galatians 3:1, before we go there, let me show you the principle of travel, first of all, that the Old Testament prophet wrote about, that the Holy Spirit wrote about the church, that the church is going to be given birth through the same process of traveling, like the natural birth is produced. In Isaiah 66, verse 7. 7-9. It says, before she traveled. Now, it's talking about Jesus. First of all, it's talking about Jesus, first of all. Before she traveled, that's Mary. She brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 8 begins to talk about the church. He's not talking about the woman now. He's talking about the church. He said, Who had heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? You see, such a thing and such things. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one what? In what day? There has to be travail. It's not a one-day thing. You see, if the earth cannot bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? Now he's talking about the church. For as soon as Zion, who is Zion? Huh? Who is Zion? It's the church. Read the book of Hebrew. It calls us, it says we are Zion. The church of the living God is called Zion. We are Zion. Say, so you come to Mount Zion, the church of the living God, the innumerable company of angels. Then it says, as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children, not child. Then God is amazing. He said, shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth? Said the Lord. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Said the Lord. He said, am I going to sow the seed of the word and then not produce it? It's not my fault if they're not giving birth. I don't do stuff like that. And he says, "You can. Is a nation going to bring forth one day everything? No. That's from where Paul got the word travel. That's why he got this thing. He's saying, I traveled for you so that Christ, so that there's a birth, a new life. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's all about the new life of Jesus in the life of a man. That's what it's all about. It's all about the new life of Christ in the life of a man. Brethren, that is God's core program. And the Holy Spirit said it takes travail. Like a woman takes travail to deliver, to produce a new life. It takes travail. So you can now see why Paul said, my little children, call them children, of whom I travail what? Again. Which means I've done this before. I've done it before. So that Christ began to be produced in you. Now I'm doing it again. Because if I don't do this, if I don't travel for you, you are not, this birth is not taking place. God said, is it God that will bring to the point of birth and shut the womb? He said, I don't do stuff like that. But Zion has to travel to bring forth her children, to produce new life in people. It takes travel in prayer. That's what it takes. So you can see where Paul got that language. Let's go back to that now and see it in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19 again. In King James, he says, my little children of whom I travel in birth. See why he got that thing? It's from Isaiah. From Isaiah. Travel in birth. I'm saying Galatians 4, verse 19. That's what I said, not verse 10. Travel in birth. I travel in birth until Christ be what? Formed in you. So like we started to say, he taught very well. Galatians 3, 1, I'm sorry. Galatians 3, 1. You will see that he taught them. Galatians 3, 1 said, O foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He said, I taught you Jesus and made him visible to you. I brought you the gospel. I taught you the word. But I needed to travel alongside that so that this seed will bat life in you. Again, like I said, it's to be regretted that focus is on numbers and not on birth. Numbers and not on what? Birth. But let me repeat it again, my brothers and sisters. God's core program is on birth. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk, so you will what? Grow thereby. God's program is birth, not character transformation. It's not management. It's a new life, a birth. A baby is born, and the baby grows, and the baby matures. And Paul said, I travel to see you birthed. I see that life birthed in you until this life of Christ becomes your reality, becomes your experience, becomes who you are. Ephesians 3 and 8. Let's look at Paul and the Ephesians church. The This is Amplified I'm reading now. Amplified by translation. To me, though, I'm the very least of all the saints. I'm the very least of God's consecrated people. This grace, this favor and privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending what? Boundless, what again? Fathomless and what again? Incalculable and inexhaustible what? Riches of Christ. That's what we've been taught in this church relentlessly. The riches of Christ. What Jesus died to enrich your life with. That's what we've been talking about relentlessly, nonstop here. The riches of Christ that enriches your life, that gives you the riches that you don't buy, the new life. And we sing it, something more than gold, the Spirit of God in the life of man. The riches of Christ, the eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, redemption from curses, the riches of Christ that Jesus gave us, the blessings of heaven. Paul said, God gave me the grace to go and teach the Gentiles these things. The riches of Christ, wealth which no human being could ever search out. Continue. Also, to enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan regarding the Gentiles and providing for the salvation of all men. This is what God called me to teach all men. It's about birth of the mystery kept hidden through the ages and concealed until now in the mind of God who created all things by Christ Jesus. Can the church say amen there? And Paul, again, you know, he resorts to the same pattern of Zion needs to prevail. Let me tell us something. The things that God does in the body of Christ, anybody who is interested in seeing the kingdom of God advance must be involved in the ministry of teaching the word and traveling in prayer. And it's not an overnight prayer. Because the prophet said, can a nation give birth to one day? It's not overnight prayer. It's prayer that is sometimes is said for months and years. You say a nation doesn't give birth in one day. No, it's a continuous travail and seeking God and praying. Look at Ephesians 1:15, so that you know what we are talking about. New King James Version, Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, and after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love for all the saints, what did he do? Huh? He said, praise the Lord. Did you see what? And kumbaya, kumbaya. He went into prayer. He went into prayer. After he had marvelous testimony, he went into prayer for them. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my what? Prayers. That God, these are the people he had, their love for Jesus, their faith. See what he's still praying for them, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you what? Spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation and the knowledge of him. But we said, I heard your love for Jesus, so I heard about your faith. Amazing. He still went into prayer. Because it's about birth. It's about that baby becoming matured. That the eyes of your understanding being what? Enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Brethren, Did you hear their testimony? The love for Jesus? Their faith? Paul, are you still praying? Yeah. A nation cannot give birth in one day. That's the Holy Spirit that said it. So if you're leading a ministry or something, this is how it's done. Don't come and say, oh, pastor, hey, people, if we feed the whole church today, praise the Lord. But there's travail. If you don't, babies won't be born. You say, oh, they are born again, sure. But there are other things that needs to be birthed in their lives. It needs to be produced along. And there are opposing forces. We'll soon see them. Numbers should not be the end of the matter. Numbers is good. Wonderful. But I'm telling you, divine plan is to birth life and grow that life. And keep that life solidified until Jesus what? Comes. That's the divine plan. And he was asking, praying that they should now know the exceeding greatness of his power towards all that believe. Look at what he's praying for them. And the same thing in the church in Colossae. The church in Laodicea, Colossians 2:11, travail in prayer, Colossians 2:1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Put King James for me there. Let me see. For I want you to know, King James, I will have you know what great conflict I have for you. Is this Colossians 2:1? Is my King James different? Oh, sorry. I'm reading New Living Translation, not King James. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you. How much I have what? Agonized for you and for the church in Laodicea. Can you put Amplified for this verse for me? Amplified. I want you to know how great is my solitude for you. How severe an inward struggle I'm engaged in for you. How severe my inward struggle that I'm engaged on your behalf. And for those believers in Laodicea too, this is talking to the church in Colossae. And for all who, like yourselves, have never seen me, all the believers he's been preaching to, he said, I want you to know the internal struggle of my heart that I engage on your behalf. There's an intensity in my heart that drives me to pray for you people. Praise the Lord. So we need to understand that this is the divine pattern. It's not a joking matter. And if you don't have this intense desire to see lives battered, you need to go to God and let God talk to you. Acts chapter 6 verse 4. But we will continue to devote ourselves, how? Steadfastly to what? Prayer and minister of the word. We must continue. As we teach the word, we devote ourselves steadfastly, continually to traveling and praying. Something was driving them. They wanted to see something happen in the lives of people. They wanted to see something happen in the lives of people. Remember what we said. It's not just about numbers. It's about birth. It's about producing something in the world. It's a mystery. I'm telling you, it's a mystery. The Lord told me something. He said, a lazy man can't serve me. He said, because my work takes travail. He said, if you want to serve me, you put your soul, your mind, and everything in it. He said, that's what it means to love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with everything. Because the same desire God has, he will plant it in your heart. The same thing. Jesus said, my Father showed me what it does so I can do the same. The same desire, the same expectation, the same thing God is doing, he will plant it in your heart. You know what Jeremiah said? He said, your fire is burning where? Where? In my bone. He said, you won't leave me. I can't stop because there's something burning in me, you. You're burning in me. You engage me in this thing. That's what it looks like. I told them yesterday, I said, when you begin to engage in this communion with God about divine plans and things, your language will change. You don't have time for too many things. You don't have interest. I'm not kidding you. You don't have interest for too many things. You can be with people, they are talking, you're just looking at them. They don't know you are not there. You are looking for to get away from there and find somewhere to pray. You want to get out of there because what they're talking doesn't even, it's like Greek to you. You have no interest in it. When you see people that engage in divine plan, when they talk, it's totally different. Because their mind is engaged in something else. I'm not kidding you, it's true. They don't have time for things of this world, to be honest with you. Because the Bible says that a good soldier does not entangle himself in what? Affairs of this world. We don't have time for all this. You don't have time for entangling yourself with all this talk all over the place. It sounds strange to you. You even surprised somebody has time for it. You're wondering, why is he not engaged in this thing? Where's his mind? I'm not kidding. I'm telling you the truth of the matter. I'm not, church, I'm telling you the truth. The good soldier of Jesus does not entangle himself with the affairs of this world. Why does he have time? His mind is not in that. They told me this person didn't tell me. We don't have time for that. I'm not kidding. This is the truth. Something has enveloped your heart. Something has taken over your mind. And so these people said, come and there's trouble here about sharing food. They said, no. Our mind is fixed on something. Let's appoint people to handle that. But you see, we are involved in something. There's a project we're involved in. And we give. You know, Jesus Christ, they said to him, come and divide our property. Oh. My brother and I were quarreling. Remember, Jesus preached, blessed are the peacemakers, right? Am I in the wrong place? Huh? Yeah. Blessed are the peacemakers. When they told him to come and make peace, he said, who made me what? A judge over those things. They said, your father, your mother is looking for you. He said, who is my mother? My mind is engaged something. I'm focused on something. I'm here for a purpose. There's something the Father is doing. It's taking over my life. I don't have time for all these things that bother all of you. Paul said, I have one track mind. Paul said, I'm focused on one thing. Forgetting everything, I'm focused on one thing. So you can see where his focus is. That Christ be formed in the Christian. That the life of Jesus becomes a reality in the hearer. Those people he preaches these things to. It's not about numbers. It's about seeing birth and growth and maturity. And what is the reason? Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was what? Shaking. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they continued to speak the word of God with freedom. What again? Boldness. What again? Courage. 32. Now, the company of the believers was of how? See, when you start praying, you don't have time for this thing that bother people. I'm not kidding you. When you see a Christian that engages in the things of God with all his heart, engaging in fellowship with God in prayer, he doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this world. Look at this people now. One heart, one soul, and not one of them claimed that anything which he possesses was exclusively his own. But everything they had was in common and for the use of everybody. So they didn't have time for all this. Who touched this? It's my own. It's my corner. This is my group of people. They don't have time for things like that. Something has consumed their mind. And you could see the result, verse 33. And with great, can you put either New Living Translation or New King James Version? The apostles testified what? Powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace blessing was upon them. Put New King James Version. Let's read it there too. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. You see the result of that? Great power, great grace, great power, great grace. If they were there fighting over who took my shoe here? And who took my shoe? There won't be great power there. Their mind will be distorted into the devil had really eaten them half without cooking. But they just said, no, we don't have time to engage in these things that bother people. We want to focus on the business at hand. That's part. Be given. Great grace was upon them all. So this is how the kingdom of God is run. This is how God's business is done. Remember when they were looking for people to assign this thing, they say we're looking for people who are what? Of good reports. Of good report. And people filled with what? Holy Spirit and power. So they can handle this. Because this also needs travail. Go report. It's not because I've been in church 20 years. They were not looking for people who have been 20 years. They said, no, we look people who have good reports, full of the Holy Spirit and things. Not to be here 40 days. They didn't care about 40 years. Why do we need to engage in traveling prayer for ourselves too? It's to fight the flesh. Now, if you're interested in dealing with your flesh, then you get on your knees and start praying. After studying that you're a new creature, that is a seed, but you need to bat something in your life too. You need to bat this new life. You really need to bat it. You got to go to praying. The point is that we enjoy the flesh. And we're not really interested in dealing with it. Because of the ego and the things it gives us, we're just too excited about it. But we're really not too interested in dealing with our flesh. I'm telling the truth. Because if we are, you do something about it. If you have a rattlesnake in your house, how desperate will you be to kick it out? I'm asking. Huh? You think your flesh is not worse than rattlesnake? You haven't been reading the Bible. Your flesh will stop you from knowing Jesus. Stop you on the track and make you a religious human being and ruin your life. That's what the Bible said. I didn't say so. Paul said, because you are controlled by your flesh, he said, your babies, I cannot teach you more than milk. You can't understand it. You can't. And if you can't understand it, then you have baby faith. He said, I can't teach you more than basic things because you don't have the ability to understand it. You see how the thing stops a Christian? It's crawling around like a baby, behaving like a immature person. And the Bible says, these things trip me and trips you. It hinders our spiritual growth. It trips us up. Trips our prayer, trips everything up. We turn into lazy Christians. We make choices based on the flesh and everything. And the end of the day, we cheat ourselves out. We cheat ourselves big time. Big time, I'm telling you. We live regular, normal lives. I'm telling you, it's not much difference. Would I live the same life anyway? Not much difference. So, but if we're interested in dealing with our flesh, and we know, everybody knows what his flesh is doing to him, then that brings us to our theme for the year. Our theme text, Galatians 5:16. Is it our theme text? Yeah. Galatians 5:16. I said, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of what? The flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You know, so wishing, wanting to do this, I've had it. Oh my God, I'm not going to tell lies again. That won't do it. It won't cut it. Oh Jesus, I'm not going to do this again. It won't cut it. It's all religious talk. There needs to be travail to bat this life. There needs to be generation of power. Romans 8:13. Romans 8:13. For if you live by its dictates, talking of the flesh, you will die. That's what the flesh does. It will cut you off from fellowship with the Spirit of God. I'm not done now. You moved further. Verse 13. Okay. But if you live by the dictates, you will die. But if through what? I want to hear you. If through what? The power of the Spirit. That's what checkmates the flesh. It's not, I won't do it again. You don't know what to engage. You need to engage the power of the Spirit. Then you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature. Then you live. You need to engage the power of your Spirit. And the Bible tells us how to generate the power. It's by prayer. James 5:16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. When you begin to pray, it generates power to check your flesh. That's why the Bible says, because these people were so prayerfully, they were so prayerful, they say great grace was upon them. Great grace and great power was upon them. And they were able to put they couldn't bother about all they own this, don't own this. Their life was totally selfless. When you begin to really want to deal with your flesh, you can. But if you are not interested, it's okay. You can carry on because to you, life is okay. But that's not the best for us. So when we start praying about battling this life of Christ in us, you find yourself losing interest in the things that used to capture you. You generate anointing, destroying all those things. In any case, if you don't have because you don't ask, because we have no interest in changing. Okay, if we have interest in changing, we do what the Bible says. It's through the power of the Spirit that will kill the desires of the flesh. And the other factor that is important for us to know so that we can really engage in prayers concerning the spirit life that Christ gave us to live is that they are the spirit of Satan determined to confuse people. Confuse people about the truth and even confuse you and hinder you from hearing it, hinder you from understanding it. Do you know that even when the Bible, what is being preached, even some of you that have taught Sunday school would have noticed that sometimes you are teaching Sunday school, you find some people are restless. They never settle down. They're now shifting, they're now settling down. Their mind is not there. They just talk all these kind of things they do. I want to tell us something, that the devil tries to hinder people from hearing the truth. He wants to stop you from preparing Sunday school classes. It will give him greater joy for you to give people placebo. You know what placebo is? Bland. Placebo is something that looks like the real medicine but has no substance really. They use it as control substance when they want to do trials for medicines. Like right now, they have a new medicine that treats the new virus, which they are testing out. So they give you what looks like it. They call it control system. So they give some people placebo, something that looks like the real thing, but there's nothing in it. Well, I'm a pharmacist. At least I went to school. I've not forgotten the things we studied. Don't forget, I studied these things. Now, why are you looking at me like this? That's why my wife married me. Married a pharmacist. Are you still interested? So I'm no more a pharmacist. So he'll be so happy if you give people placebo. You didn't pray about your class teaching you are coming to do. You didn't even prepare. You are busy chasing the things of this world. And you just come and say that. Open whatever they gave you and be giving them placebo, lifeless stuff. He'd be so excited. Very, very happy. He won't let you. Because if you want to prepare, there are many things he will throw into your way. You need to do this. You need to do this. If you settle down, phone will ring. He's trying to distract you. But if you don't know, you allow him to take away from you what God wants you to give to the people. Paul said, I've received from the Lord what I'm giving you. You can't give what you haven't received from the Lord. You can't give stale manna. The Sunday school teacher, the life center leader, the heads of ministry, they should be traveling in prayer and getting from God. When they open their mouth, people know this is coming from heaven. Two teachers can teach the same lesson. One is life, the other one is placebo. Fulfilling all righteousness. There is a spirit called Satan. The Bible warned about him. He's going around looking for who he will devour. Jesus defeated him, all right. But the same Holy Spirit is warning the church that there's somebody going around looking to devour your faith. That's why we pray. Brethren, that's why we pray. That's why you pray for your children. That's why you pray for yourself. That's why you pray for your church. That's why you pray for the ministry where God put you, brethren. This life has an end. It has an end. If anybody hasn't learned any lesson recently, you should go back and check the calendar. Acts 20:29. I know that. Put amplified, please. Amplified, please. I know that after I am gone, you see, they can't do that when I'm there because I fight them. I'm traveling. They can't do that when I'm there. But after I'm gone now, ferocious what? Wolves will get in among you, not sparing the flock of Jesus Christ. Why? It's nobody among you who will fight them. Because he said, everybody is after the things of their own. Nobody cares about the things of Jesus Christ. It's after I'm gone, this is what will happen. Verse 30. Even from among yourselves, men will come to the front who by saying perverted, distorted, and corrupt things will endeavor to draw away the disciples after them to their own party. groups and fellowships. Continue. Continue. Therefore, be always what? Alert. And on your guard. Be mindful that for 3 years I never stopped night or day seriously to admonish and advise and exhort you one by one with tears. Now, he prayed the prayer of commitment for them. He said, now, brethren, I commit you to God in prayer. That's what he said. And now, brethren, I commit you to who? To God. It's called prayer of commitment. That's why the Bible says, pray with all manner of prayer. Commit you to God in prayer. These are the people he was traveling for. Because, look at what he said. 1 Corinthians 15:32. 1 Corinthians 15:32. See what he said. What do I gain? That's if there's no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, what do I gain? If merely from human point of view, I fought with what? I didn't hear you. I fought with what? White beasts where? At Ephesus. I fought them. I won't let them tear the sheep of God. I'm not going to let them do that. I traveled. I fought them. I prayed. I engaged them. I was on my. I prayed for you. He said, the travel of my soul for you. I want you to know it. He said, I fought those beasts in Ephesus. That's why I said, after I'm gone, no, nobody will fight them again. That's why we pray. Can I hear amen? That's why you pray for your children. I don't care where they are. That's why you pray for your spiritual children. That's why you pray for people that God committed into your hand, because you don't know who is talking to them. You don't know what the devil is telling them. You don't know how it's confusing them in their mind somewhere, creating wahala for them here and there. You need to pray and fight those beasts, so that Christ be formed, what? Them. So the devourer does not tear off what God is doing. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? Are you following me? If you follow me, shout hallelujah. You don't know what they're telling them in school. You don't know what they're teaching your children. Especially we that have grandchildren. Our work has just started. My grandchildren, I pray for them every day. I don't know what they're telling them in the classroom. I don't know the perverse things that is perverse in America that they're teaching my children. Confusing children. You are no more a gay. You are now a whatever. Confusing children. They're not going to take my children from you. Because I will pray. Can I hear amen? I will pray over them. I will pray continuously over them. That when they are talking, God will scatter all that evil that they are talking about. It will enter their ears. And they will not confuse them. But you know, the Lord told me, say, lazy people can't do these things. People that the world has taken over their mind, all they talk about, all they live for is money and everything. They don't have time for things like this. They think it's not true. Now, there are vulnerable babies that are born in the kingdom of God, newborn babies. They need our prayers. Also, Christians who are facing challenges to their faith, character challenges. It's not to criticize them, find fault, and gossip about them. It's to pray. Even difficult people. The Bible says we should pray for them so that God can give them what? Have you never read it? Difficult people, he said, be gentle with them and pray for them so that God will give them. So that God will give them what? Repentance. He said, you should pray for them and be gentle with them so that God will give them what? Repentance. You pray for them. You don't fight them. Two wrongs will never make a wrong. Right? You don't fight them. You don't do that. It is prayer time. That's how to serve Jesus. It's prayer time. It's prayer time. It's not to come and be confronting them and talking about them. No. It's prayer time. In your closet. Because you don't know what is aching anybody. You don't know what people are passing through. You don't know the challenges of life they're facing. You don't know what they're carrying. You don't know the news they had. You don't know what they're facing. It's prayer time. That's what the love of Jesus does. That's why we pray. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I remember my son telling me, he said that I went to seek the Lord for myself. He said, I took off to seek the Lord for myself. He said, surprisingly, I never got around to praying for myself one day I was there. He said, every time I kneel down, the Lord will give me somebody to pray for. Every time I kneel down, give me somebody to pray. He said, I never pray for myself until I finished that. It was, and I said, wow, so people have needs. Yeah, they do. And somebody has to pray for them. Because sometimes they are no more in a position even to pray for themselves. They are so overwhelmed by life. Romans 15:1. We who are strong in our convictions and of robust faith ought to bear with the failings. Ought to bear with what? The failings and what again? The frailties. And what again? The tender scruples of the weak. We ought to help carry the doubts, the qualms of others, and not to please ourselves. Continue. Let each one of us make it a practice to please, make happy his neighbor for his own good and for his true welfare, to edify him, to strengthen him, and build him up spiritually. For Christ did not please what? Himself. He gave no thought to his own interests. Gave no thought to his own interests. But as it is written, the reproaches and abuses of those who reproach and abuse you did what? Fell on me. And he's saying that's the way we should carry the reproaches of people. We should carry it. Because Jesus carried our reproaches. He said, we that are strong in the faith should carry the weakness of others. In prayer, you go to God in prayer. That's how you carry the weakness of somebody. You become an intercessor for him. Am I communicating to you? If you are hearing me, say amen. So that's how we serve Jesus. When we start gossiping about them, talking about their ear, that's not God. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not what he said to do. Of course, people who pray and engage in the Holy Spirit can't talk like that. They can't talk like that. Because God will give them that burden to pray for that brother. And they don't go to me and say, bro, hey, you know I'm praying for you every day. You are not. Because if you are, I won't be talking like that. You are not. You know, let me tell you something. When I got saved, I was just talking with my first cousin, Reverend James. He's a pastor. You only the other day were sharing about what God is doing in our lives and our families. And I said, Jimmy, remember? I said, remember when I used to abuse you and insult you and call you name, Ndikwere? He laughed. I said, remember, I used to call you Kwere. You know what Kwere is? Kwere is believe in Igbo. Say, this believe people, Kwere. Say, you carry Bible. I say, you have no ambition. I used to insult him. I will insult him. You know what James will do? He'll laugh. I didn't know he was praying for me continuously, nonstop. I didn't know. I said, then remember. I said, you were praying for me to come out of destruction and I was insulting you. The devil was trying to stop you by all the abuses I was raining on you. But you didn't look at me and all those things. You loved me and prayed for me. The reproaches of those who don't love God fell on him. They carried it. He didn't tell me I'm praying for you. Never. Man, did I insult James? I did though. Venom. Yeah. When I got saved, I said, Jamie, I'm born again now. He said, my brother, you're welcome. Now let me take you off my list. That was when I knew. I said, you've been praying for me? He said, don't worry about it. Let me take you off my list. God has answered this one. That's a Christian like you. The Christian like me. The reproaches of those who reproach you has what? Fallen. He carried it. I mean, you are praying for me every day. I see you. I say you have no ambition. I say, why don't you go and find something to do? I mean, what I told James is unprintable. Because it was demonically motivated. But I was telling him, I said, James, you know, you were praying for me to get out of destruction. But I was insulting you to stop you. But you didn't stop. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. When he was, they were going to make him pastor, he called me and said, brother, well, I need this to buy cassock and buy this. It was a lot of money. And I said, Jim, never borrow money. Let's trust the Lord. I was all the way in Texas for a wedding. And somebody walked into my room and gave me a check of $3,000-something. Texas. And I called him. I said, Jim, God has provided that money. I gave it all to him. I said, buy everything to make everything. Everything. He labored. Now he was reaping also. He labored. Now he was what? Reaping also. Look at our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has asked exclusively, excessively, that all of you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain. But what happened in this verse? But I have what? I didn't hear you. But I have what? Prayed especially for you. I've prayed for you. That's how to engage these things. That your own faith may not fail. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish what? Your bread. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. This is where we'll stop with just two more. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, New Living Translation. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are what? Lazy, the church. Lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are what? Weak. Be patient with everyone. Hebrews 12:12. Brothers and sisters, we urge you. No. Hebrews 12:12. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. You know, when you start praying for people,
it may not work overnight. Mostly it doesn't. He said, will a nation be give birth overnight? It takes patience. It takes perseverance. That's why the Bible says we should pray with perseverance. We should pray with all prayer, with perseverance. And then putting our mind in it. May not work overnight. Most revivals that God has moved, when God moves people to start praying, this things go south. They don't see it. But they keep at it. Because it's a birth process. Until the thing is birthed, they don't rest. I'm done.
You need to pray for yourself, for what you have received tonight, based on what you know that God has ministered to your heart, your spirit. Speak to Him tonight. He wants to hear you. What did you receive? A lot of things that happens, we see it from our carnal eyes. And we're not able to understand what God is doing. See, the prayer of Jesus for Simon Peter helped him. He himself didn't know. Commit yourself into His hand. Lord, I need you to strengthen me. Help me to release myself totally to you. Let your spirit be guiding me. Help me to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Help me to be sensitive. A lot of us don't even know when the Spirit of God is talking to us. Lord, open my eyes of understanding. Help me to be sensitive to your voice. Help me to be rooted, to be grounded in you. So that I will be immovable by whatever pressures that come. Ask the Holy Spirit to take over your life. Holy Spirit, have your way in me. I release myself. Spirit of the living God, take over. Let's rise up on our feet. Holy Spirit, move me now. Make my life whole again. Spirit, move over me. Spirit, move over me. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, yes, move me now. Make my life whole again. Spirit move over me. Holy Spirit, Spirit move over me. You're going to sing that song again. I want you to stay focused as you're standing and see what the Spirit of God is doing when it comes like a flooding river over you. You know, changing, mending things, turning things around in you. There is nothing sweeter than living and walking in the Spirit. When God is leading you, when the Spirit of God is leading you, you will live out of frustration because you will understand everything that's going on. People may not know, but you will see. That's why you can smile when people are shouting. That's why you can keep quiet when people are shouting. That's why you can speak when people are sleeping. That's why, because you are being moved, being led by the Spirit. You want to take that song one more time? And I want you to be sincere as you're singing it. Holy Spirit of God, move in me again. Make my life whole, better than before. Move in my life. I need you. Holy Spirit, move me now. Make my life whole again. Spirit, move over me. Spirit, move. Spirit, move over me. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, move me now. Make my life whole again. Spirit of God, Spirit, move all over me. Spirit, move over me. Spirit, move. Spirit, move over me. Spirit, move over me. Holy Spirit of the living God, we heard your voice tonight. We cannot do it by our own strength. You said, by my Spirit, saith the Lord. There is nothing we can do of ourselves. Tonight we yield ourselves unto you more. We pray that you take over, you move in us. We want intimacy with you, Holy Spirit of God. We want to be so tight with you. We want to yield. We want to listen. We want to obey. We want to hear you. We want to walk in the Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, I pray if there is anyone here in need of baptism of the Holy Spirit, I pray for your divine visitation, that you come mightily upon them. That they will have an encounter with you. prayer as you are under the sound of this message tonight, that the hand of God will be on you and the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, even as you go tonight in Jesus' name. We pray for infilling of your spirit, O God. For the rest of us that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we pray you take absolute control, total control of everything about us. That all we see, all we hear, all we speak, all we do, will be motivated by you. Will be directed by you. That we will be controlled by you, the Spirit of the living God. Lord, let your hands be on us for this, in the name of Jesus. That we begin and continue to yearn, to desire, to fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit all the time. When we are alone or whatever we are doing, our communication with the Holy Spirit will be fluently moving on. Continuously, we will be hearing you and you will be guiding us. Take absolute control. This is our desire tonight in the name of Jesus. I pray that the message of tonight will not go in vain, but there will be more clarity, there will be more understanding, there will be more understanding, oh God, as we go back to revisit our notes and to listen to what you had spoken unto us tonight. Take us further in this journey, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for more of your grace upon your servant that you had used, that he will continue to fellowship him with you, and he will not speak of himself, but he will be speaking as you give him utterance. And understanding will be coming unto us in the name of Jesus. We bless all the offering tonight and our tithe as we bring them joyfully, that this will be used for your glory. And our income will continue, you will continue to do exploit through this. We will never lack anything good because you are our sufficiency. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Let's take our seat as ushers give out offering envelopes and collect. Please let us remember that on Saturday we are all meeting here, all church workers. Our doors will open from 10. We are starting 10:30 a.m. prompt. 10:30 a.m. All church workers, everyone in any ministry, whether you are a member of that ministry or you are a cabinet, please let us all be here. This is an annual workers' conference. Seminar. So let us be here. If you are yet to RSVP, it is important. Your head of ministry or ministerial overseer must have sent the link to you. It is for proper arrangement towards this program. And it will help the secretariat for an accurate and to update their database. So please speak to your head of ministry if you don't know what I'm talking about. It means you didn't get the link yet. If you are not on the WhatsApp chatting group of the workers' ministry, please, you can speak to any of the secretariat members or your head of ministry. They know what we are talking about. It's important. Please, please let us yield to that instruction. It is 10:30 in the morning, and immediately we finish at 1. The quarterly business meeting that we're supposed to have in March, we do it together. So we don't have to do that in March. So everything we end like 2 o'clock, and lunch will be provided. Ushers, please collect. On Sunday, immediately after the pre-worship prayer, we are going straight into the annual general meeting, which is called our AGM. Our AGM was supposed to have come in January, but due to some other circumstances beyond our control, we had to move it. I'm strongly encouraging us to please come on time so that we will start on time and it will not go too far into the service of the day. This is where we go through all the financial record, everything that has to do with the church for the year 2019. So if you have any questions or you have any contribution, any areas that you think we can do better, this is an avenue for it. So please let us all come prepared. There is no Sunday school on Sunday. So immediately after the pre-worship prayer at 9:25, we are going straight into it. You are very important to be there, and your opinion matters a lot. Let us take note of this. Let us rise up. Ushers, I believe we're done, right? Thank you. Let's share the grace in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord.